Go back to history. That dream 35. October 27. Krakow. Father Andres, spiritual counsel. Do nothing without the consent of the superiors. One must think this matter over thoroughly and pretty much. One must be very careful about these things because in your present situation, sister, the will of God is certain and clear. For you are in fact bound to this congregation and clear. From congregation by vows, and perpetual vows at that, so that should be no doubts. What you are experiencing interiorly, sister, only the glimmering of a project. God can make some alterations, but such things are very rare. Don't be in a hurry. The works of God proceed slowly. But if they are of Him, you will surely recognize them clearly. So many times we want to see, do clearly what is the will of God for us. We want to immediate answer. But you see, sometimes it takes time. You have to ask kind of, you know, people, how do they think, in prayer first. Or just when you get an idea and then just get off. No. Be slow. Speak frankly about everything to your confessor and obey him blindly. Obedience is part of the virtue. Although you have the inspirations, but you have to obey. For this religious sister, they have a superior. But for you, you are in a family, so you have also a kind of community. Obedience is also important. Even in a group, you know, service group or liturgical group in the church, you have the kind of be united with others. Not just because you have a good idea and go ahead on by yourself. That's not the way. For the present, sister, there is nothing more for you to do than accept the suffering until the time when everything will become clear. So when time's not clear, you have to suffer. You don't know what will be tomorrow. Take your time. Be humble, obedient. There's a way we have to learn from life. That is, all things will be resolved. You are well disposed as regards these matters. And so continue in this simplicity and the spirit of obedience. This is a good sign. If you continue in this attitude, God will not allow you to fall into error. Still, as much as is possible, keep far away from these things, but if despite that they still come your way, receive them calmly and do not fear anything. Well, that's also consider other temptations. Thinkings, so many, we have so many thinkings, this and that, and that. Not in a hurry. Keep calm, humble, prayerful. Not just angry because no answer yet, and you complain to God, and why don't you give me the right answer right away? Why don't the superior doesn't understand? Many times you complain. You are in the good hands of a very good God. We are all in the good hand of good God. So, in all that you have told me, I do not see any illusion or anything contrary to faith. that's the word of the spiritual director. These are things which are good in themselves. To start a new congregation, it's okay, no problem. But not sure yet, not clear yet. Take your time. And it would indeed be good if there were a group of souls pleading with God for the world. As we all are in need of prayer. So she wants the congregation, prayer is primary importance. She finds her congregation is already quite congregation, not enough for her. She said, not enough, so I need one more, only prayer, prayer, prayer. You have a good director. Stay with him and be at peace. This is her confessor, but she's a spiritual director. Father Sopoko, the spiritual director. This is her confessor. But both are really helping. Helping again, no? That's very good. Only one person. Be faithful to God's will and carry it out. As to your duties, always do what you are told to do, and as you are told to do it, no matter how humiliating or toilsome it might be. Always choose the last place, and then they themselves will say to you, go up higher. In spirit, in your demeanor, consider yourself the least in the whole house and the entire congregation. You'll be the last. Of course, not the least, but you'll be the last. Then you'll feel peaceful. Otherwise, where am I? Where am I to see? Not this place, not that place. Is there no place for you? Don't worry. You'll be the last one. Then you feel so peaceful. Otherwise, in everything, you know, at all times, be more faithful to God. It's more important. Faithful to the Lord. I desire, O my Jesus, to suffer and burn with the flame of your love in all the circumstances of my life. I am yours, completely yours, and I wish to disappear in you, O Jesus. I wish to be lost in your divine beauty. You pursue me with your love, O Lord. You penetrate my soul like a ray of the sun and change its darkness into your light. I feel very vividly that I am living in you as one small spark swallowed up by the incomprehensible fire with which you burn. O inconceivable Trinity, no greater joy is to be found than of loving God. Already here on earth, we can taste the happiness of those in heaven by intimate union with God, a union that is extraordinary and often quite incomprehensible to us. One can attain this very grace through simple faithfulness of soul. It's simple. God is simple. Don't complicate things. We are minors, so many things, and we don't trust enough. That's why we complain so many times. Do we trust the Lord? When our reluctance and our monotony as regards my duties begins to take possession of me, I remind myself that I am in the house of the Lord, where nothing is small, and where the glory of the church and the progress of many souls depend on this small deed of mine, accomplished in a divinized way. Therefore, there is nothing small in a religious congregation. Nothing small. Everything is great. Even little things, even clean the kitchen, doing swept the floor, nothing small. If you do it out of love. For the sister, they are out of obedience. For you, since you don't have the want of obedience, you out of love. Don't see that my work is the least of the world. No. If you're out of love, that's the grace there. Joy comes to you. Peace in your mind. In the adversities that I experience, I remind myself that the time of doing battle has not yet come to an end. That means you have to struggle always. Temptations always. Or with this moment you say, okay, I can do it with all the faith. And the second moment, when you're weaker, you hesitate. Where is God? Where is Jesus? Where are you? Where are you? We want him always with us. Of course he's with us. But his face, you can see him. No peace. Your old self come back. This is where we are. St. Paul is very good at his letters. To ask that TV every time, put off the old self and put on a new self. You have to change. I armed myself with patience, and this way I defeat my assailant. You see, patience. In no way do I keep perfection inquisitively, but I propped into the spirit of Jesus and fixed my eyes on his deeds and summarized the gospel. Even if I live 1,000 years, I will not exhaust what is contained there. So you got the idea, the way from the gospel. Think what Jesus would do. Or if some episode in the gospel, what Jesus did. So that's why the word of God is so important. Keep it in our soul. When the time comes, when time comes, it comes out. What Jesus will do. That's how we need to always have this unity of the Lord first. If you're thinking so many other things and just watching TV all the time, read newspaper, not even one phrase from the gospel, and not even morning prayer, not even evening prayer, or not even the rosary. So we are open for temptation. No? When my intentions are not recognized, but rather condemned, I'm not too much surprised, for I know that it is only God who scrutinizes my heart. Truth will not die. The wounded heart will regain peace in due time. And my spirit is strengthened through adversities. I do not always listen to what my heart tells me, but I keep asking God for light. When I feel I have regained my equilibrium, then I say more. The day of renewal of vows, the presence of God flooded my soul during Holy Mass. I saw Jesus, and he said to me, "You are my great joy. Your love and your humility make me live the heavenly throne and unite myself with you. Love fills up the abyss that exists between my greatness and your nothingness." I think it's only for Faustina, for each one of us. It's your humility, it's humbleness. This God is always, he is God. Immense love. Only we say that we are so small potato, and maybe God doesn't see us, and so we live this way and that way. I think each one of us can be another Faustina. She's very small, but she loves Jesus. I don't see anything, but I trust. You know, that's why Jesus promised him, "You are my great joy. Your love and your humility make me leave the heavenly throne and unite myself with you." Jesus knows where you are. You have that love for Jesus, that space for Jesus. Jesus is also ready for each one of us. Love is flooding my soul. I'm plunged into an ocean of love. He's drawing water into the ocean. That's an idea of mud, of the trees of Monsieur. And one drop into the ocean. You're part of the ocean. Although you say one drop of water, you are love. And enter into the love of God, you're divinized. You're part of this great love. I feel that I'm swooning and become completely lost in Him. Jesus, make my heart like unto yours, or rather, transform it into your own heart, that I may sense the needs of other hearts, especially those who are sad and suffering. May the rays of mercy rest in my heart, so she yearning for this heart of Jesus into her heart, so that she can look after the other souls. This is not for herself. So I'm happy because Jesus is in me. I'm divinized. I'm in the Lord. It's not for that, but for yourself. So that with this love, you can love more and more and more the way Jesus would like to love. You'll be another Jesus. Love immensely, with the boundary, with the condition. This love, learn from me, no, Jesus. Love one another as the way I love you. At least unconditionally, always the first one to love. This too is very important. Keep in mind, love unconditionally, not because you're doing me good, I do you good. You take, you know, condition. And the first one to love, not that you love, so I love you. If you don't love me, I still love you. And that means unconditional. You know, and first one, you don't do it, I do it. Many times say, why have to do it? You don't do it, why do it? Why have to do it? We are all conditioned for all things. So our heart is very limited. And how can you invite unlimited God into your unlimited heart? You are company limited. You cannot do big business, no? In the evening, when I was walking in the garden, seeing my rosary, and came to the cemetery, I opened the gate a little and began to pray for a while, and I asked them in theory for the souls. You are very happy, are you not? She's talking to the souls under the grave. That I heard these words. You're happy in the measure that we have fulfilled God's will. And then silence as before. I became introspective and reflected for a long time on how I'm fulfilling God's will and how I am profiting from time that God has given me. So the conversation. Ask the souls, you know. You are very happy, are you not? She's talking to those sisters passed away and in the grave. And she then heard the words, we are happy in the measure that we have fulfilled God's will. That means how much we did listen to the will of God, so much we have this joy. If you're always reluctant on earth, reluctant to God's will, so even you in heaven, your heart is limited. So even your joy, it's not that kind of joy. Yes. That bottle, if your big bottle, you can contain more water. Your small bottle, small size, Sukha is infinite. If you just limit yourself in this way, God is giving you this sufficient grace to be in heaven. But your heart is always like that. Your container is small. Always small. If your container is big, the joy is different. Not that God classified you. You make yourself classified. Because you have a small heart, a small bottle. How can you have more water? You bring a small vessel. If a bigger vessel, you know. So simple. Really interesting, eh? Even in heaven, if your heart is beating, not that much. You love God, of course. But with this, then, with you, the Faustina, yearning for more and more and more. And that's on the evening of the same day when I had already gone to bed, a certain soul came to me. From the grave, come up, visitor. Woke me up by tapping on the night table and asked me to pray for her. I wanted to ask who she was, but I mortified my curiosity and I joined this little modification to my prayer and offered them for her. She don't know who. She wanted to ask who you are. Once, when visiting a sick sister who was 84 and known for many virtues, I asked her, "Sister, you are surely ready to stand before the Lord, are you not?" She answered, "I have been preparing myself all my life long for this last hour." And then she added, "Old age does not dispense one from the combat." Not because you fight already for 84 years, so you can rest. No rest. Always fighting. Before All Souls Day, I went to the cemetery at dusk. Although it was locked, I managed to open the gate a bit and said, "If you need something, my dear little souls, I will be glad to help you to an extent that the rule permits me." It's nice, eh? I then heard these words, "Do the will of God." We are happy in the measure that we have fulfilled God's will. See, on earth, they fulfill God's will, so they enjoy to the extent that they, how much they enjoy. But ask Faustina, don't worry so much about pray for us. You better do better than the will of God for you. You do less for the will of God, in the future you'll be less open to the love of God. In the evening, these souls came and asked me to pray for them. And I did pray very much for them in the evening. When the procession was returning from the cemetery, I saw a great multitude of souls walking with us into the chapel and praying with us. Souls in purgatory. I prayed a great deal, for I had my superior's permission to do so. Be friends with the souls in purgatory. Well, she's very friendly with them. They are souls surrounding her. So she's praying hard for each one of them. During the nights, a soul I had already seen before visited me. However, he did not ask for prayer, but reproached me, saying that I used to be very haughty and vain, and now you are interceding for others while you yourself still have certain vices. I answered that I indeed have been vain and haughty, but that I had confessed this and had done penance for my stupidity, and that I trusted in the goodness of my God, and that if I still felt occasionally, this was indeliberate and never premeditated, even the smallest things, still the soul continued to reproach me, saying, "Why are you unwilling to recognize my greatness? Why do you alone not glorify me for my great deeds as all others do?" Then I saw that this was Satan under the assumed appearance of this soul. The Satan disguised as a soul in purgatory and in heaven or what, you know, this pride. You know, why don't you aggressive? And I said, "Glory is due to God alone. Be gone, Satan." And in an instant, this soul fell into an abyss, horrible beyond all description. And I said to the wretched soul that I would tell the whole church about this. Maybe the soul in hell, in coming up, to all say these words. It's horrible. "Why are you unwilling to recognize my greatness? Why do you alone not glorify me for my great deeds as all others do?" You see, that's the temptation. On Saturday, we left Krakow and returned to Vilnius. On the way, we visited Czechoslovakia. When I was praying before the miraculous picture, I felt that and pleasing. End of Luke book 2. Some verses, some reflection. "The mercy of the Lord I will sing forever. Before all the people will I sing it. For it is God's greatest attribute. And for us, an unending miracle." Sorry. "You cast forth from the divine Trinity, but from one single womb filled with love. The mercy of the Lord will be revealed in the soul, in all its fullness, when the veil falls. From the fountain of your mercy, O Lord, flows all happiness and life, and thus all creatures and the whole of creation sing out in ecstasy a song of mercy. The bowels of God's mercy are opened for us. Through the knife of Jesus stretched out on the cross, O sinner, you must not doubt or despair, but trust in mercy. For you also can become holy." We are all called for holiness. "Two streams in the forms of rays have gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, not for angels, not cherubim, not seraphim, but for the salvation of sinful men." These two knights, the white and the red knights. "My Jesus, you know that of myself I would not have written a single letter. And if I do write, it's only because of a clear command of holy obedience. O Jesus, hidden God, my heart perceive you. Though whales hide you, you know that I love you. You know, because you are praying in the tabernacle, no? You can see that it's exposed. Still, she said, my heart perceives you. You can see Jesus. November 24, 1935, Venus, Luke Book 2, Blessed be God. O Holy Trinity, in whom is contained the inner life of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, eternal joy, inconceivable depths of love, poured out upon all creatures and constituting their happiness, honor, and glory be to your holy name forever and ever. Amen. When I consider your greatness and beauty, O my God, I rejoice exceedingly that the Lord I serve is so great. With love and joy, I carry out His will. And the more I come to know Him, the more I decide to love Him. We don't love Him because we don't know Him much. We just more or less kind of idea. We really don't feel, understand His love. I burn with the desire to love Him ever more and more. The 14th, this Thursday, when we were having nocturnal adoration, at first I could not pray. A sort of dryness engulfed me. I could not meditate on Jesus' sorrowful passion. So I lay prostrate and offered the most sorrowful passion of the Lord Jesus to the Heavenly Father in reparation for the sins of all the world. When I got to my feet and after this prayer and walked to my lila, I suddenly saw Jesus next to it. The Lord Jesus appeared as He was during the scourging. In His hands, He was holding a white garment with which He clothed me, and a cord with which He girded me, and He covered me with a red cloak, like one He was clothed with during His passion, and a veil of the same color. And He said to me, "This is how you and your companions are going to be clothed. My life from birth to death on the cross will be the rule for you." So for His, if ever is for new congregation, the life of Jesus will be the rule of life. Fix your eyes upon me and live according to what you see. I decide that you penetrate into my spirit more deeply and understand that I am weak and humble of heart. So we want to be, just want us to be another hymn, humble of heart. On one occasion, I felt an urge to set to work and fulfill whatever God is demanding of me. I entered the chapel. For a moment, I heard a voice in my soul saying, "Why are you afraid? Do you think that I will not have enough omnipotence to support you?" Sometimes we are scared as if God is so far away. But Jesus said, "Do you think that I will not have enough omnipotence to support you? Why are you afraid?" At that moment, my soul felt extraordinary strength in all the adversities that could befall me in carrying out God's will seemed as nothing to me. All the temptation, when we want to try to do better the will of God for us, it's always temptations, either from people, from situation, is yourself, weak, and so always all this mind disturbs us. On Friday, during Mass, when my soul was flooded with God's happiness, I heard these words in my soul: "My mercy has passed into souls through the divine human heart of Jesus as a ray from the Son pass through Christo. So this, the race from, it's a human and divine heart. Eh? Remember also human heart. So we share not only this kind of supernatural frequency, but also human. You're part of the heart of you. Heart of human heart of Jesus always bleeding. Passion. Dying for people. I felt in my heart and understood that every approach to God is brought about by Jesus in Him and through Him. On the evening of the last day, November 15, after the wind at Ostra Brahma, after the singing of the litany, all the priests exposed the Blessed Sacrament in the montrons, like this here. When he placed it on the altar, I immediately saw the infant Jesus stretching out his little arms, first of all toward his mother, who at that time had taken on a living appearance. When the Mother of God was speaking to me, Jesus stretched out his tiny hands toward the congregation. The Blessed Mother was telling me to accept all that God asked of me like a little child without questioning. Otherwise, it would not be pleasing to God. At that moment, the infant Jesus vanished and the Mother of God was again lifeless. And the picture was the same as if it had been before. But my soul was filled with great joy and gladness. And I said to the Lord, "Do with me as you please. I'm ready for everything. But you, Lord, must not abandon me even for a moment." Extraordinary grace, no? The Heavenly Mother is visiting her, and Jesus blessing her and blessing the congregation. To the glory of the Holy Trinity, I asked Mother Superior to permit me to make a 40-day fast, taking once a day a piece of bread and a glass of water. However, following the advice of my confessor, Father Sopoko, Mother Superior did not agree to 40 days, but to 7. "I cannot take you away from your duties completely, sister, because of the other sisters who might notice something. I give you my permission to devote yourself to prayer and to note down some of these things. But you will not, and will be very difficult for me to protect you as regards the fasting. Really, I can think of no solution to this." And she said, "Go now, sister, and perhaps some light will come to me." On Sunday morning, I understood that when Mother Superior assigned me as portress during the meal time, she was doing so with the thought of giving me the opportunity to fast. In the evening, in the morning, I did not go to breakfast, but a little while later, I went to Mother Superior and asked her whether I had been assigned as portress in view of making it possible for me to fast unnoticed. Mother replied, "When I assigned you, sister, it was with this in mind." I then saw that this was the same thought that I had interiorly. November 24th, 1935. Sunday. First day. Number one day, huh? I went at once before the Blessed Sacrament and offered myself with Jesus, pressing the Most Holy Sacrament to the Everlasting Father. Then I heard these words in my soul: "Your purpose and that of your companions is to unite yourself with me as closely as possible. Through love, you can reconcile earth and heaven. You will soften the just anger of God, and you will plead for mercy for the world. I place in your care 2 pearls very precious to my heart, These are the souls of priests and religious. You will pray particular for them. The power will come from your diminishment. You will join prayers, fast, mortification, labors, no sufferings to my prayer, fasting, mortification, labors, and sufferings, and then they will have power before my Father. So Jesus himself also, you see, Jesus telling her, you will pray particularly for them, for the priests and the religious, no? The power will come from your diminishment. You will join prayers, fasts, mortifications, labors, and all sufferings to my prayer, fasting, mortification, labors, and sufferings. You see, Jesus today is also doing mortification, doing fasting, still suffer the human heart. That's it's so together with Jesus. Even now we are asked, no? We are asked to fast 2 more days, Wednesday and Friday, better water. You know, some of us observe this message from Medjugorje, and that's, you know, it's not that we do it by ourselves. Jesus himself, we united with him. So whatever we do, we are one with the Lord. We are not far from the Lord. Always, he is with us.